Right now, it is coming up 10 past four. Now, the government is pumping $60 million into Golden Bay Cement so it doesn't shut its Northland operation down. That operation is the only cement manufacturing facility in the country. It supplies 60% of New Zealand's cement, and by the way, it's owned by Fletcher. Dr. Eric Crampton is an economist at the New Zealand Initiative and with us. Hi, Eric.
Good afternoon.
I can imagine that you probably don't enjoy this spend, do you?
Well, it's a mess that's trying to solve what's actually a real problem in how the government's industrial allocations in the emissions trading scheme work. The design of those is not good, and they are particularly not good when it comes to cement manufacturing. Rather, I would have preferred that the government updated settings for those so that they were more functional and so we wouldn't see this kind of problem emerge in other sectors later. We've seen it previously in steel. Instead, they've done it as a one-off, paying out Fletcher's to maintain the plant through to 2040. But the underlying problem with the emissions trading scheme in how it calculates industrial allocations is still there to be fixed.
Okay. So is this ultimately, in a nutshell, a problem that the cost of manufacturing cement in New Zealand is impossible because of the cost that the ETS imposes on it? Is that basically it?
It's impossible because we don't charge a carbon equivalent border charge for cement coming in from overseas. Yes. So remember that we have industrial allocations for sectors where we worry that if we didn't provide ETS credits for a New Zealand company, the emissions would just happen overseas instead because we'd be importing from there, or other countries would be buying foreign-made products rather than New Zealand products. And that's a problem for global warming if the emissions shift to a place where the emissions are even worse than they are here. Now, it looks like New Zealand cement is actually more carbon efficient than the cement being made in Japan, which is where we'd be importing from the alternative, or at least on average, that's where it largely comes from. If the plant here shut down, there'd be more global reliance on the Japanese cement, and we'd be relying on that. Global emissions would go up. If we were doing industrial allocations properly, then this wouldn't be an issue. They would be allocated credits sufficient to for it not to be competing with unpriced alternatives, or we'd be adjusting a border charge for importing carbon-intensive cement.
When you talk about these allocations, are you just talking about basically an exemption from the ETS?
Well, what happens is that existing industries that face this kind of trade issue allocated free credits by the government. So every year the government puts up some credits for auction and they've not been able to sell any recently.
Yeah.
They also provide free allocations to industries where the government has good reason to worry that emissions would happen overseas instead of here instead. So the company gets free credits. They can use those to satisfy their surrender obligations. So whenever they create a ton of carbon dioxide emissions, they must surrender one NZU. They can choose to do that, or they can choose to do things that reduce their own emissions and then sell those credits for other people to use. Unfortunately, there are a couple of problems in how the system is set up. So one unfortunate consequence of it is that when Holcim shut down a higher emitting plant so that they've got lower carbon intensity in their own current production, they wound up getting fewer emissions credits out of it because of how we baseline these things. They're baselined against what happens here rather than emissions intensity abroad. Really, they should be tracking how carbon intensive is production overseas. And if that reduces, well, we would provide fewer credits here because it's not such a bad thing if production shifts overseas, if the overseas is more efficient on carbon grounds. And that's the ETS's only job is around carbon stuff. There could be other reasons to want to have domestic manufacturing, but keep the ETS pure. It doesn't scale that way. It scales instead to domestic emissions and then on this weird timetable where it reduces the amount that's allocated to these companies a little bit each year, trying to, it's basically a fudge factor that the government expects that emissions intensity overseas will reduce as technology improves, and so will emissions here. So it will just scale down over time rather than scaling with what's actually going on overseas, which is what should matter in a clean version of all this.
Okay, so
and so we're stuck with a subsidy.
Yeah, but the ECS is just a joke, right? I mean, the thing is becoming as you explain, incredibly complex, not actually working. It's making our power bills, our domestic power bills, unaffordable to us. Why don't we just, instead of giving these guys $60 million of taxpayer money, why don't we just scrap the ETS?
Well, it depends whether you want to scrap the Net Zero Act, right?
Yeah, well,
so
I do.
Right now, okay. So you could have a consistent version where you get rid of the Net Zero legislation. We would still face some obligations under international agreements. And to the extent that we view those as binding, it could be far more expensive to try and buy international credits to satisfy those obligations than to maintain the ETS. There are versions of ETS reform that I kind of like where we would anchor in international prices. So if New Zealand prices ever got too high, we'd buy international units and use those within the ETS here as well. There are ways of doing that that would be consistent with the Net Zero legislation. If we ditch the Net Zero legislation and, how to put this, if it becomes obvious that China and the US and large major emitters overseas are going to abandon efforts at achieving net zero, then we would have to wonder whether it makes sense for New Zealand to be continuing down that path. I'm not sure that we've got that with certainty yet. And I think that updates to how the ETS works so that we could rely more on foreign credits also keeps us in line with foreign efforts.
All right.
At the same time, our prices aren't that high compared to international norms. We're much below the price in Europe for the sectors that are covered.
Eric, thank you. I appreciate it. That's Eric Crampton, New Zealand Initiative economist.